Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends reach to the highest shelf of their parents' living cabinet. As always, I'm the responsible water drinker, Zach, and join with me is...
the one that will drink too much, Zach.
And the other person...
who enjoys a nice Coors Light every now and again, Steven.
And we're back. It is a week that nothing happened, except... DC is currently at South by Southwest with Frank Miller, Jim Lee, and
Bendis.
Mr. Brian Michael Bendis, who just revealed the first page of his Man of Steel issue one. He has taken over DC's Instagram page, so it might be worth checking out, looking at it. Hopefully you listen to this before. You'll probably listen to this after all the stories disappear. But, you know, go on Reddit, catch the highlights and all that jazz. But...
as you do.
The biggest news was broken by Bleeding Cool kind of last week, where they're just throwing stuff at a wall. I feel like people actually like feed Bleeding Cool information at this point. But DC just announced the Black Label.
Yes, it's very exciting.
I looked at it and I cried because DC is like, at this point, they like knocked me to the ground. And actually, they don't even need to knock me to the ground. Their hand is already inside of my wallet.
You're just like holding the wallet out for them. It's like, here you go.
At this point, they just walked in like, hey, we're gonna need more. Okay.
So this imprint is almost like their Vertigo meets the rest of their DC universe comics.
What I found interesting is in the Washington Post article, they had the idea announced Thursday by DC is that some of DC's most iconic stories, Watchmen, The New Frontier, and Batman the Killing Joke, were created outside of DC's standard comic book continuity. DC Black Label will give top creators the chance to repeat that type of storytelling magic without having to adhere to whatever plot twists or storylines are happening with a particular character in the DC's main comic book universe.
It almost reminds me of their old Elseworlds imprint from the late 90s and early 2000s.
This is exactly what it sounds like, except like... meant for, it seems like, because we had the DC Zoom and Ink, right?
Yep, DC Zoom, DC
Ink. That was aimed at more younger audiences. This seems like, no, this is for adults.
Yeah, I think Sean Gordon Murphy was saying on Twitter that if White Knight came out later, it would have been under the imprint of the Black Label as well. And it would have kept it. He said he would have hoped it would keep its original name as Joker the White Knight instead of Batman White Knight, which is interesting. And the titles and creative teams are just absolute fire.
Mm-hmm. So one I didn't actually know is John Ridley, the writer for 12 Years a Slave. It has a book at Vertigo called The American Way, and he'll also be doing the Other History of the DC Universe, which is a literary series that will explore sociopolitical aspects of DC heroes who come from traditionally disenfranchised groups such as Dawn Stewart, Vixen, Katana, and Supergirl. So that's pretty interesting. And then you got Kelly Sue DeConnick, famous for Captain Marvel, Bitch Planet, will be doing a series called Wonder Woman Historia, The Amazons, with Phil freaking Jimenez doing the art. So it's going to be gorgeous. And the story will focus on the lost history of the Amazonian culture and the rise to power of Wonder Woman's mother, Queen Hippolyta.
And then the things that
I'm so fucking excited for that.
Yeah, and then what's a DC announcement without the other big two? So Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. are teaming up once again to do Superman Year One. So this is... in the DKR universe, it's his Frank Miller's Superman story. And then it seems like he also said that DKR 4 is going to come out eventually. So I feel like it would fall under this umbrella too if it does release.
I don't know how I feel about Frank Miller writing a Superman story. Because hasn't he always just hated Superman with a fiery passion?
To the point
where he almost wrote Superman as a pedophile in Dark Knight Returns?
No, not the pedophile thing. That was a hinted at with like Bruce and Dick Grayson.
Well, I thought he originally wanted to write it to where something happened with Superman and Jimmy Olsen when he was young.
But then DC's
like, no, get that shit out of here. You're not doing that to Superman.
It's the same thing when he was like, yeah, I want a Batman to rage the war against Muslim extremists. Then it's going to be called Batman Holy Terror. No.
No. We're going to put the line right there, and no.
Like, it's weird, because Romita, for me, is always hit or miss, and then the same with Frank Miller. Like, I respect where Dark Knight Returns came from and why it's important, but it's not one of those, like, all holy seminal graphic novels or stories to me.
The thing that needs to be put on the highest pedestal that a lot of people do put it up there.
I mean, it has some great moments, like the Batman and Superman fight.
Like that whole
the monologue at the end. That is very iconic.
Like the fight, the monologue, even some of the points like of the story leading up to it, where it's like, wow, this is fantastic. But it's not a perfect holy scripture book.
No.
Of like, I need to compare this to every comic from henceforth. Like, you really don't, though.
It's kind of like how people would just regard The Killing Joke as the greatest Batman story ever when Alan Moore didn't even want to write the damn thing.
Like
only 80 pages long.
Yeah.
It's a decent story, but, and it gets you thinking, but at the same time, it's like, it's not the most amazing comic.
Again, it has that great monologue. That seems to be the theme of like, all these great Batman stories have like that key monologue that everybody can reference. And then they kind of like forget most of the rest of the story.
This is the weapon of the enemy. Smash the shotgun over his knee.
Like, are we just going to ignore the whole sexually assaulting Commissioner Gordon in the theme park?
Or Batman just having his way with every female character in All-Star Batman and Robin Returns? And then, you know, saying, I think he called Dick Grayson a faggot at one point. I'm not sure.
Nice.
Yeah. It was very, like, it was very not PC words.
It was very ultimate Captain America.
Yeah, like, he invites Hal Jordan into this room that's painted yellow to prove that, yeah, you're not the most powerful thing in existence, and then Dick Grayson's also painted yellow and beats the shit out of Green Lantern. Because this is going with the continuity that his ring cannot affect the color yellow.
Not fear, the color yellow. That's the secret.
Was this after they took away his weakness to wood?
No, that was Alan Scott who had the weakness to wood.
Okay.
Two different Green Lanterns.
But continuing with some of the other ones, one of the biggest ones, of course, do it. Oh, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo will be teaming up for Batman Last Night on Earth. And this is apparently supposed to be Snyder's actually last Batman story for now.
Never. It's the
last Batman story, not his last Batman.
All Batman stories end with this.
I want it to be his last one so he can finally go play with some other characters.
He's writing the entire Justice League.
Sure, but he's done Batman for so long now.
Justice League, Zach?
Not just Batman.
It's still...
That's true. That is a step.
He even put out that tweet of like, yeah, right in Justice League. In the corner of my mind, I just hear, it needs more Batman, Scott.
The thing that I feel like is like, whenever he finishes a story, he's like, all right, I'm going to come up with something different. And then when he like he plans before he finishes a Batman story, it's like, I'm going to go do something else. And then like in the Batman story, he comes up with another Batman story.
Yeah,
it's like, that would be pretty cool.
C2E2. And this was like, as Endgame was wrapping up, he's like, yeah, I really want to do this Two-Face story. And then he did an interview.
Surprise,
he's like, yeah,
I
was at Chicago and I kept tweeting or I kept texting Greg while he was in his hotel room. And I came up with a story idea called Metal. And then everyone's like, you've had this in your pocket for like 3 years. Weird. But what's really awesome about that story is that it's the Dark Knight in a desert, unaware what year it is, with the head of his all-time villain, the Joker, alive inside of a jar. He said that, this is really cool too, that Mark Doyle, you know, former Vertigo editor, former Batman editor, is now the editor of Black Label, which makes perfect sense for this like more mature, kind of dark and gritty storyline. Has been working with him and Greg to do this Batman story. And one of the original concepts was that this Batman was Damian Wayne, not Bruce.
Is that still... We still don't know that, if it's Damian or not.
Well, there have been some changes that we'll mention later, like Sean Gordon Murphy no longer being part of this
This is originally supposed to be Batman Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
Before Murphy started working on White Knight.
His own stories. Jeez. White Knight Volume 2. Cross my fingers for it.
Two other stories that were announced are... I didn't know the second to last one, but... never mind. I'm just going to read them. Wonder Woman, Diana's Daughter by Greg Rucka, and Woo! Batman, Damned by Brian Azzarello and artist Lee Bernello.
Woo. Or
Bernejo? Bernejo, I think.
Bermejo?
Bermejo?
I'm excited for both of those stories, especially Diana's Daughter, just because it's like Greg fucking Rucka. I'm like, let's go balls to the wall.
This is, I'm most excited about that one because I know there were some people in Hall of Justice that hated Greg Rucka's return to Wonder Woman. Like they said that or complaints where the story's not going anywhere. He hasn't done anything with it. I feel like this Black Label's gonna allow him to do the things he wants to do with that character.
Well, even his Wonder Woman, it's like you have to read 30 issues for everything to finally tie together.
True.
And I enjoyed that. I love like
I liked it too.
The mini plots leading up to this big final thing.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone was kind of, because this his run came right after Darkseid War, so everyone's like, where's Jason? And now that James Robinson's writing Wonder Woman, everyone's like, there's Jason. And now it's It's kind of fallen into not necessarily obscurity, but it's not.
It's not high profile.
Yeah. Like, I don't go on Reddit on Wednesday and have to avoid spoilers about Wonder Woman now. Whereas when Greg Rucka was writing, it was either look at this moment, look at this monologue, look at Liam Sharp's art, look at Nicola Scott's art, look at Bill Kui's art. It's just like, nope, Jason.
What I think is going to be, I think this label is going to be really successful because from what I can, if you look at like how the trajectory of like comic book fans is changing, of how people want, you would think that it seems like a lot more people are just getting trades and getting digital volumes and like just waiting for, they're doing the Netflix approach of like, I'm just going to wait for the whole story arc to finish and then read all of it. And you see labels like Aftershock that on the fucking back of their comic, or all their comics, it has their like pretty much their mission statement of top creators, unique and siloed stories, and easy to get into books. This is exactly what that is, except with DC characters, and it seems like they're going to be given the freedom to write the story they want to write without having to worry about, like, again, continuity and making it like all ages friendly for the most part.
And what's really nice is that they're going the Image route of like, here's when we end the story, and then the creators will come back to it eventually. Like, they will take hiatuses in between each volume. Like, I know Superman Year One is only supposed to be a 3-part series. It's quick, it's over, you move on. Nothing else actually has like a firm, solid.
I mean, Snyder will probably be at least 6.
Yeah.
Maybe 12. We'll see.
And it's really cool because, like, especially just that they get to experiment and play with all of these different universes where, you know, Batman the Damned is the team that brought one of the most seminal Joker stories. Where, and now we have this world in which John Constantine is following the Joker's death. And it's just like, that's so out there that I need to follow this story. Or Diana's Daughter is the story of a young woman seeking to reclaim what has been forgotten in a hopeless world, possibly realizing she might be in Amazon, and leaves you the question of like, what happened to all the other heroes? It's just kind of in the same way that like, if New Order came out and was a longer run, I would love to see the like an in-between arc of what happened before Dick pressed the button.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives a lot of room for these writers to experiment, which is really awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, that's even, this is like, quite honestly, like, and I've talked about it before. It's like, I still keep up with my DC books, but I've been dropping so many like continuous books in favor of more of those Aftershock and Image titles, because one, I find the stories more like these ideas more unique and something we haven't seen before. And also the writers, just following them helps, but they're easier to get into. Like, you don't have to worry about like all the, or like what effect, how is this going to affect like the greater thing. It's like, okay, I know that. Or for instance, in Wicked, it's like, all right, I know what this story is, and I'm still trying to figure out like, who is this character, and we know it's just this, It's like, it could be any of these things, but they're all contained within mm-hmm. this story. That's all we have to worry about.
Yeah. And I don't know. I still ride the superhero DC titles, and I kind of feel the same way about Marvel, that I'm like, I'm interested, but I'm not sure. Like,
I'm interested, but disappointed with your decisions.
Not even disappointed. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, do I want to hop on to Amazing Spider-Man following Dan Slott's run? Like, I've been reading this specific writer for so long. It's kind of the same thing with Snyder. Like, if someone that took, whoever would take over Batman would have to be an equally high profile person, but it's like, here's Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley. I'm like, oh man, I love Ryan Otley's art. I'm not sure how to feel about Nick Spencer on this title, even though Superior Foes was really fun and some of his Ant-Man stuff was pretty entertaining. But just like Captain America and Secret Empire left such a sour taste in my mouth. So in the same vein with you, following these indie titles, like the one that we're both reading, Backways, right now, by Justin Jordan, I've been really interested just because it's Narnia gone wrong. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking hype. And then Image is going to be, has that Sam Humphries book coming out. That's Riverdale meets Harry Potter. I'm like, shit, you said two key words. What am I supposed to do?
And I've been reading God Complex, which starting to figure things out, kind of. Again, it just needs to, like, so it's starting to, like, slow down a little bit to get it into, like, more world building, because that's, like, my biggest complaint is, like, all right, there's this really interesting world. You're going way too fast here to explain any of this.
I agree.
So that's my one complaint with the way. Otherwise, I'm like, all right, cyberpunk noir, fuck yes. Sign me up.
What do you think, Steve? Black Label and everything else that's going on.
I'm not going to lie. I just kind of zoned out for a second there. I was looking for the Scott Snyder tweet and got trapped in a rabbit hole.
Scott Snyder tweet?
About him writing Justice League and Batman.
Oh, where it's Batman looming over his shoulder and him trying not to write Bat God.
After years of writing Batman, doing whatever he wants, writing Justice League is like an exercise in restraint. I can feel him seething, too, like staring at me, eyes narrowed from the back of the watchtower. Batman has to Batman, Scott. He has to.
It's kind of like reading Metal right now, where it's just every single issue is Batman getting his ass kicked. I'm like, man, how's this going to wrap up?
Like Batman beat up. It's like Batman trapped in the dark dimension. Batman dissolving in lava.
This last issue of Metal is going to be like, how did he do all this? Because he's Batman.
I'm the goddamn Batman.
The
one time that was mentioned in Zero Year, it's the goddamn Batman. Everyone's like, he said the thing. He did the Frank Miller thing.
Snyder is very good at like just squeezing those little references in there.
Yeah,
that still makes sense.
It's just, you know, Metal's almost been an entire love letter to Grant Morrison, and then it's really cool because it's like, yeah, we want to use Dream, and then Neil Gaiman's like, what if we brought them all back? Sandman imprint. So looking at this, you have DC Inc., DC Zoom, regular DC, Vertigo, Sandman imprint, Black Label.
A rebooted Vertigo as well. Yeah. That's supposed to be happening.
Milestone eventually.
Wildstorm. Technically is his own thing.
Jinx World. So that's a total...
Young Animals.
Young Animal. My holy...
your holy milk war.
Dude, fucking Shade came out. I haven't read it yet. I'm so excited. But they're essentially running 10 different imprints. And looking at like Marvel, it's like we got Marvel. And I guess Icon when people want to play around.
Does anyone still use it?
Not since Chris Samnee and
Bendis left.
Mike Millar. Bendis didn't use it. Jinx World. And it's like DC's almost oversaturating the market right now, but they're creating something unique for
audience. Every single story has to tie back into the main universe. These are self-contained. Nightwing Warrior was self-contained.
The DC Kids imprint that's coming out, that's more geared towards the younger audience.
I think that's underneath Zoom.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Zoom was like specifically for kids.
But still, they're like, hey, are you a living, breathing human? We've got a comic for you.
Which is so cool.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how the Image approach was. Like, that was their tagline, is like, comics in your image.
Like, oh, God, I'm a god. In 2 years, I will die.
Except for the last fucking issue where they're just like, yeah, I think we're done with this.
See, I told you.
That fucking line.
Haven't read it yet. Haven't read it yet.
I want to say the line.
I told you.
Haven't read it yet.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Like, it answers questions, but leaves so many doors closed. And it's like, nope, not yet. You can't go through
the fucking last line of the issue, too. When he's just analyzing the image, is just, motherfucker. I just pictured the Sam Jackson motherfucker. Even though we know that character's like white from South. Dad. Yeah, South London.
Mine more comes from, ever seen Black Dynamite?
Yes.
When like they're doing the fight scene, the guy slaps in the face and just like, motherfucker! And just cuts away.
See, I just imagine, crap, who's... Every time Woden is on panel and he's speaking, it's either Jean Ralphio or the character from Saints Row that literally does speak in auto-tune.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Like, every time he talks, I would just think the auto-tune voice.
To, like, mask it.
Yeah.
But now I want to imagine him as Jean Ralphio. Especially now that we know what's under the helmet.
Okay, well, I'm going to grab more coffee real quick. You continue.
Okay. Moving forward.
Auto-tune guy. that would be... Zemos.
Saints Row 5-1. Even though Agents of Mayhem did not do well. Why didn't it not do well?
It just... I don't think it was what people were expecting. I think everyone was expecting something a little more like Saints Row. But they got more, I think, evolved sort of status. Or, Agents of Mayhem... Well, they did have Johnny Gat in it. And, I mean, it didn't do terrible. When you look at the ratings, a 6 out of 10 on Steam, a 5.5 out on Polygon, 7.1 on IGN. But I just don't think it was what everyone was expecting from them.
Yeah.
I think everyone wanted Saints Row 6.
5.
5.
Well, Saints Row 4 went off the rails so hard. Like... Jane Austen's actually been the narrator of the entire story. And then the DLC with Gat Out of Hell, where they're like,
so good.
The boss has been taken by Satan, and now you have to rescue him.
And then have a musical number with Satan's daughter.
Like, that's the coolest thing about Saints Row, is that they never took themselves seriously.
They jumped the fucking shark so quick.
Well, it's like 3, it's like, okay, this is a pretty average game. It's a gang war.
Average game, I love 3.
It's a GTA clone.
I liked 2 were GTA clones. 3 just went, like, opposite direction.
Like,
now.
Fuck, you're like, all right, this is starting out as a GTA clone. All right, it's getting a little crazy. Oh, now we're fighting robots in a giant helicarrier from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did that happen in 3?
Yeah. It's like after you take down all of the crime lords and everything, and they're like... Like, this city's too dangerous. And then just the Triskelion flies in. And you're like, all right, time to take that down too.
And then you start 4 off. Yeah, secret agent. And then you're climbing a rocket to the... crap, what song was it?
You don't want to miss a thing by Aerosmith.
Yeah. And the rocket explodes. And you land in the White House.
As the president.
And then the aliens come. Like,
and then the greatest final fight when you're in the mech suit... And you're like the Iron Man suit, and you're flying down, and you have the touch from Transformers. The movie starts playing. Just like, you got the touch.
You know what that reminds me of? It's the Rooster Teeth PSA Sarge the movie, where they just combine every single action movie trope into there. That's exactly what Saints Row 4 was. That's exactly what they did.
Even in like some of the dream sequences, where you had to rescue your companions. Like, you get booted to like the 70s. And it's like, you're wearing the high-waisted pants and button-up shirt. You're the mayor of the town.
Oh, God.
It's like
1950s. Super jovial.
Like that is your run motion.
You need some soul music in the background?
Well, no. It's like the poppy 1950s, like... da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Like nothing.
And you start out by eating pancakes.
Where they get... Happy Town? No. Happy Place.
Pleasantville. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like Pleasantville, except in Technicolor. And then the way you ruin the simulation...
Dubstep gun.
Yep, you get the dubstep gun. But anyways, going back to actual comic books.
The reason Agents of Mayhem was not that well received is because it was very repetitive.
Also, nobody knew, like, is this Saints Row? Is it not?
Well, it takes place in the Saints Row universe. Yes, they confirmed it was never, that.
They should have just said Saints Row, Agents of Mayhem. It would have made a lot more sense to people. Probably would have sold better.
But we're just waiting on Saints Row 5, where Jane Austen is part of your crew now, and they reset the universe.
So, remember the THQ Nordic group that, I think they might have the rights to Saints Row now, I'm not sure. Anyway, so, THQ Nordic is not the remnants of THQ.
Nope.
It is a completely different company that bought THQ properties and renamed themselves. I'm like, why would you rename yourself to a company that just did bad?
Because if you say, hey, we're THQ Nordic, everyone's like, oh, THQ's
It's really
back.
Confusing, though, because it's like,
but they're still,
so wait, did a group survive?
But they still carry on THQ properties, so everyone's I know that brand, I love their games, let's go.
It's like how when Gears 4 came out, they had to really stress that, yes, Black Tusk
is now the Coalition.
Yeah. And it's like, this is the new brand now. Coalition is different. Black Tusk is here to develop your game. It's like how the remnants of Bungie was like, all right, how do people know that we're still Halo? 343. Perfect. Anyways.
Yeah.
So one of the big things that was talked about very briefly this week is
from the DC Black Label announcement.
Capullo replaced Murphy on last night. So Scott Snyder goes on to say, this book is a project I've been playing for several years. It was actually supposed to be part of the All-Star Batman line, something that needed a new, different format. Sean Murphy and I had talked about doing it together, but the truth is we both felt any last Batman story should be done with brother Greg Capullo. And the fact is, the amazing world Sean has created with Batman White Knight is his. It felt right to keep his Batman singular. Sean is family to me, and I'm thrilled for him over tremendous, well-deserved success of Batman White Knight. Wait till you see what's coming. It's amazing. As for me and Greg, we've never had a chance to work outside of the monthly grind, not in 7+ years together. And the Black Label format finally gives us the room to experiment creatively, both with the story and art, to make something very different than anything we've done before. Something that encompasses Batman from early days to his end and brings in the DCU as it goes. Very excited, and thanks as always. Murphy goes on to say as well that White Knight was an unplanned success that caught everyone off guard. It was supposed to be a 6-issue mini.
Then
first
came
issue sold really well and then became 8.
I forgot that it went to 8. So when I finished issue 6 this week, I'm like, are we? Oh yeah, we're not done, are we?
Yeah. It might have been a Black Label book if I waited a year, but in a way it accidentally jumped the gun. Who knows? Maybe it'll be absorbed by Black Label, smiley face. So I can see why Murphy was the original writer, because if this was, or artist, because if this is Batman Mad Max, you want the car guy.
Yeah, his style fits that so well.
Do you follow him on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
All he does is post cars. Like, it's, I'm just sitting there.
What if his most exciting things, I remember when he was, like, showing, like, sketches from White Knight, was just all the different Batmobiles that he got to draw. He was like, I'm so excited, I get to use all these.
And he built most of
those. And he brought back the fucking 1989 Tim Burton one in this last issue. It was so cool.
Yeah, so it's really cool to see them play with it, and especially with what this Black Label is going to evolve into eventually. Like I said, DC's robbing me. Like, freaking Becky Cloonan just posted, it's like, yeah, my Batman white, black and white statue is finally being sculpted, and I'm just looking at it, I'm like, motherfucker, god damn it, I want to buy this. This is bullshit. Why did I have to like the most popular character ever? This is bullshit. Granted, my favorite Marvel character is Spider-Man, so I'm screwed either way.
I think at this point, I'm more screwed on the Marvel front.
Yeah.
My favorite being Iron Man.
Well, which, now.
Who the
now
fuck is the face of the MCU?
Well, did you hear the news that if a character dies in Infinity War, they are not coming back?
So they're doing Infinity War, idiot?
Yeah. So, I mean, this kind of goes straight with the rest of the MCU universe. The only character that's been resurrected was Coulson, I guess.
Well, he technically never died. They got him into the program before
he died.
Wasn't
the whole thing that he was like, he's like synthetic or something?
No, he has Kree blood in him.
Oh,
that's what Tahiti was injecting Kree blood and Kree cells into the human body for repair. And
And then he and Ulysses claw high five with their robot hands.
Yeah, and now Coulson chopped off his hand because of the Terrigen crystals. They touched him, they were starting to destroy his hand, and then got chopped off by the gun axe. And now he has the robot hand that has the Captain America hologram shield in it.
Nice.
It was actually a thing. He had a hologram shield that was physical.
I swear, every time I see, I mean, I only have like two Marvel books right now, but every ad I see of S.H.I.E.L.D., it seems like they're already on a different story arc, like every single time. Like,
I think they're...
Did they jump story arcs already?
Well, they went from doing like one large story arc to like three per season. Yeah, I think
that's why it makes
The last season I watched was Ghost Rider to
the... Didn't they go into space?
Inhumans.
No. Inhumans was its own season. That was the last one that like focused on one aspect, but it was like, I'm trying to think of the... It was Ghost Rider, Synthoids, I think.
Was that the space one?
No, that was the robot peoples.
Which one was the space one?
That was the next season.
Oh.
Because after Synthoids, it went into the virtual reality where Hydra won. And then they went into space the next season.
They did a Secret Empire.
They did their own Secret Empire before Secret Empire.
Well, I was at a Hot Topic the other day. I saw a whole line of the Inhumans pops on the clearance aisle. I'm like,
The Lockjaw looks pretty cool.
That was the only one that was gone. It was like a bunch of Maximus ones. Also, in other news, they have the Sailor Moon 3-pack with Serena, King Edimon, and Small Lady, I think Mini Moon was called.
Yeah. But what about Tuxedo Mask?
My work is done.
The Saga Pops are out.
You didn't do anything.
Second and Charles has some. I went looking for my Fairy Tale Pops.
I saw Marco and the Will, and I'm like...
How many are out? Is it just...
Marco, the Will, Prince Robot, Alana, Isabel.
Isn't Prince Robot an exclusive? Somewhere?
No.
There's an exclusive version of Prince Robot.
Yeah, there's an ECC one. But yeah, like, there's five of them. And I'm just kind of sitting there, I'm like... No, I'm buying this All Might and Dragon Ball Z tank top for the gym. I can't buy pop figures right now. And I just bought these awesome black jeans. I'm ready to go mosh. I'm going to die tonight.
Just windmill kicker.
That's right. Just windmill kicker. You kids have your concert tonight. Meanwhile, I'm going to be going to bed at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I have to work tomorrow.
Because we lost an hour today.
Tomorrow's going
to
be...
I was wondering why I felt so pissy this morning at 6 a.m. I'm like... it feels early. I don't know why.
I freaked my brain the fuck out this morning because I turned over and the first thing I saw was my alarm clock. It's like, all right, cool. Then I rolled over and looked at my phone. I was like, there's no fucking way in between looking at my alarm clock and rolling over, I blacked out for an hour. There's no way. Like, wait, daylight savings time. Thanks, awake brain.
Well, only would make it worse if, like, the cops are, like, at your door. It's like, see, we need you to come with us. I'm like, what the fuck did I do in that hour?
But it's the experiment. It's just, you were enrolled in a special program. You are the Black Ops.
Black Ops 4. Don't care.
It's like, what if? Now, what if we took the Black Ops 3 logo and put an extra line right down the middle?
The British Museum has confirmed that this is correct numbering, and they don't have to do IV.
Yeah, it's like a... I was going to say, like, actual, like, ranking.
Yeah.
Because isn't there, like, a four-line ranking?
Yeah, but most of the rankings are horizontal, yeah. Not vertical. But,
yeah.
You know, another year, another Call of Duty.
But do you think...
We always expect.
When they do Black Ops 5, if they're just going to do tally marks. Like, instead of just going Black Ops V, it's going to be...
I think every live. News outlet would be so upset. It's like, how the fuck do we type this? How do we do tally marks?
It's just a mini image.
Nobody knows.
Clip art.
It's what is it? The glyph icons?
Well, it's like
ASCII art.
How Mortal Kombat, when they released 10, instead of doing Mortal Kombat 10, they just did Mortal Kombat X. And I was like, why do they do X? Like,
because X sounds cool.
It's the 10th one.
It also sounds cool.
Roman numerals, homie.
Mortal Kombat X.
What do you think they did with the iPhone?
Because everyone was freaking out because the Mortal Kombat that came before was technically Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
But they didn't give it a number. It was just called Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And so I was like, why is it X? What's the X mean? Number 10.
It weirds me out that we're like on our 10th iteration of Mortal Kombat, but we're on our 5th incarnation of Street Fighter.
Well...
Which, how many versions of 2 do we want to include?
And well, how many versions of 5 are there?
Like, nah, there's more. There's more,
like 3.
There's more versions of 3 than...
Or there's more versions of 4, I would
say. So there's 5, and then 5 Arcade Edition. Then there was...
Turbo.
4. And then 4... Or Super Street Fighter 4. Then Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition.
Oh, Street Fighter Puzzle.
All right. Tetris. I got the answer. I'm pulling up the entire list of Street Fighter games.
2.
All right. God, 4 series, 3 series. So the 2 series. Oh, my sweet God, I'm out reading all these. Jesus fucking Christ. There's like 40 different versions of 2.
Okay. But we're on our 10th incarnation of Mortal Kombat.
Okay, yeah. 4 is reasonable. You got Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 4 HD, Street Fighter 4 Arena, Street Fighter 4 Volt, and then 3D Edition, which, that's for 3DS. AE, I don't know what that is. And
Arcade
then
Edition.
Arcade. And then Ultra Street Fighter 4.
I regret asking that question.
Yeah, 2 has an ungodly amount of different
versions. But why are we only on our 15th Final Fantasy?
I mean, more if you count, like, Tactics and...
But why are we on our third Kingdom?
The Crystal Chronicles. And
I know.
But we're on our zero. We're on our 13th Kingdom Hearts.
Well, that's only if
they only add up to 13.
Oh.
There's only been 1, Chain of Memories, 2, Birth by Sleep... 358 over 2 days, coded, recoded.
Cell phone.
Rechain of Memories? Is that one?
Rechain of Memories. Key. 2.8. And then 3.
But I thought 2.8 was just a collection.
Well, it's got 0.2, and then it's got the key back cover, and then it's the 3D version. So it has new content in there.
I really wish the Switch was powerful enough to eventually play Kingdom Hearts 3. Because I would buy all the amiibos. That's the only reason why.
I'm buying the Solaire amiibo, even though I've only played 1 Dark Souls. Because
if they
released
Kingdom Hearts amiibos,
I
would pre-order them all that day.
And with a great transition, the Nintendo Direct came out this week.
It's actually some good stuff that they announced. Yeah.
So under the 3DS banner.
Am I doing it?
If you want to.
Okay. You got WarioWare Gold, which is pretty much just a collection of all every single... WarioWare game. Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. Don't know what the hell that is. Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story plus Bowser Jr.'s Journey. Okay.
It's a 3D remake of a Mario and Luigi RPG game.
And then you got Luigi's Mansion 3DS remake. Where is the fucking Switch version?
Virtual console.
Where the fuck is it?
And then on Switch.
News that everybody actually cared about.
No.
Come on, Nintendo just keeps pushing 3DS because of the unit numbers, but come on, everybody knows that we only cared about the Switch.
The American audience does.
It's true.
I'll be honest, when I was watching the Nintendo Direct on Facebook, if you looked over at the comments, so many people were just like, no one cares about 3DS, no one cares, where's the Switch news? And then I saw the comments and I'm like, are you fucking stupid? Like, we only came here for Zelda and Mario and Pokemon, like... You're not going to get 2 of those, I guarantee you. Mario Odyssey just came out. Zelda's barely a year old.
And they've already said that they're done with content for Zelda.
Also, Pokemon only gets announced during Pokemon Directs, not Nintendo Directs. So it would have been better to look up and be hopeful for a Fire Emblem game and then be disappointed.
Pokemon
isn't
also gets announced at
E3. It's supposed to come out this year.
Allegedly.
Remember, they might save it for E3 then.
Yeah.
It'll probably be E3 because I remember when they're like, yeah, within the first year of the Switch's life, we're going to have a Mario game, a Zelda game, and a Pokemon game. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
So, the Switch news though, Okami HD is coming to Switch.
With touchscreen controls, which, thank God, because if you tried to do it on the Xbox, you had to use the thumbsticks to do the paint, and you had to contort your hand to...
On the PS4, you get to use the touchpad, though.
It's a little better.
But with the Switch, I'm probably going to get it on the Switch, because I was debating getting it, but they're like, yeah, touchscreen controls are when you use the brush. Like, yes, queen.
I was going to say, it's like a 10-hour game. It's better for a Switch than like sitting in front of your console. Even if it's an HD remake, it's like...
Well, it's the same one that they just released for PC, I imagine, but just for Switch now.
And it's so old.
It's a very old game.
It's PS2.
It was one of the first Zelda clones that kind of made the genre popular.
We got the Dark Souls Amiibo and a network test beta. I don't care about the test beta for Dark Souls Remastered, but the Amiibo, which is Solaire, which is the guy that does the Praise the Sun emote, which is pretty cool. Like, I'm actually going to buy that.
And if you have it with Dark Souls, you can just, you can keep just touching it to the pad the emote. And do the emote over and over.
Let's see what else.
Sushi Striker, the Way of Sushido, actually looks fun. It's one of those games where, like, I want this. Like, it was a very niche Steven-looking game because you fight people by eating sushi.
Nice.
You just stack sushi plates, make a combo, and shoot it at your opponent. This is my game, just like Battle Chef Brigade.
Yeah, I am mine.
One game I'm very excited for, Octopath Traveler, got a release date of July 13th and has two new characters.
Woo!
A merchant and an apothecary.
So they still need to announce the other four.
Well, and then they also announced that you can combine classes. So you can be an apothecary plus a dancer, or a warrior plus a merchant, which is nice because it's like you're not stuck with that one job. You can experiment with things. Like, every class can have another class as a secondary. Like, you're still primarily a fighter, but maybe you could also be a merchant.
And then we got Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes is apparently going to come out this year.
It
says TBA 2018.
Yeah, it's not what I was expecting when they were like, a new No More Heroes game is coming.
It
looks very arcadey.
Yeah. And then we got Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Woo!
Also July 13th.
I'm really excited for that game. I love
it's a fun
tracker.
I played a demo on this Wii U, and it was so pure and fun.
We need more pure.
And they added a new level of New Donk City.
Ooh.
For Odyssey.
That's exciting. Yeah. Then we got Undertale is going to be ported. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. That one kind of surprised everybody because they thought it was just going to be Xbox One and PS4.
And now it's everybody.
On. Yeah.
Everyone can experience the Sony title.
Little Nightmares Complete Edition.
Such a great game.
That's a good Switch game. South Park Fractured But Whole is going to be on the Switch.
Great Switch game.
Which, wow, I didn't realize it was coming out April. That's pretty good turnaround for them. And there's going to be an ARMS esports tournament. That's pretty interesting. Didn't think
motion ARMS controls only. God, can you imagine people on stage just like,
motion controls do not work that well. I can attest to that.
Let's see what else. We got Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition.
Woo!
So just continuing the theme of how many Wii U ports are we just going to get on the Switch life cycle now?
Well, because like nobody had a Wii U.
Exactly.
So what if we give them this and be like, look, new game.
I'm going to be so pissed off of the Fire Emblem titles, Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
I don't think it will be.
I hope
that, that might be. I could see that being like a bonus.
I think it. I've heard rumors that it's going to be a mainland, Fire Emblem game from rumors on Reset Era. Everyone's saying that it's going to be. What was it? What was the working title? I heard it was like Eulogy for the Fallen. So it's going to focus. Apparently, everyone's thinking it's going to focus a lot on like with like permadeath and things, since that's big part of Fire Emblem. If you don't, if you turn
fuck
on,
that easy mode,
yeah, if you don't
Phoenix turn, mode, bitches,
turn it off, easy mode.
Well, Fire Emblem is one of those games. It's like, yeah, I play on hardcore. Oh, honey, why?
I play on hardcore mode. I only lost 5 of my characters in the first half of it. Like, what about you? I lost none because I'm not insane.
I lost the character I forgot to tag with, and I just never got
it's
that
the
character
X-Com
in
approach.
The game. Yeah, it's just like. Oh, it's like when you go up to the hardcore players, they're like, yeah, I play on hard mode where my characters come back. It's like, okay, yeah, I play on Iron Man mode where everyone stays dead. Oh, honey.
You're like, oh. I could see Tokyo Mirage Sessions being like a like Bayonetta where it's like, buy the new Fire Emblem, get a code for Mirage Sessions.
I could
like,
see that.
I'd be okay with that.
I could see that.
Be like, ah, Fire Emblem Persona, sign me up.
What else? We got Mario Tennis Aces. June 22nd.
Waluigi has the best freaking just everything.
I think you're forgetting, though, fucking Chain Chomp, who has an adorable little visor and holds the tennis racket in his little mouth.
I haven't seen him. I've only focused on Waluigi. Going back to Fire Emblem really quick, I really hope this is a continuation of the like long-running storyline of like Marth and everyone else. because Fates was its own separate thing. Warriors, obviously, it's its own separate thing. What? But it's like when you play Awakening, which is like a lot of people's introduction into Fire Emblem from the 3DS generation, it's like, yes, your ancestor was Marth. And everyone's like, whoa, 1,000 years later.
Then Splatoon 2 version 3.0, so they're getting DLC, a story mode apparently too.
Two new characters.
And then the moment everybody lost their damn minds, Super Smash Bros. Is coming to Switch, and everyone is, it seems like more than likely it's going to be a brand spanking new Super Smash.
And those poor Splatoon kids.
Those poor Splatoon kids. They were just having fun, splatting each other, and then
all of Nintendo showed up to beat the ever-living shit out of them.
Blood in, blood out.
No, it's blood in, blood out. Woohoo! Blood I'm gonna kick your ass!
Blood for the blood god.
Then they look over to Link just standing there.
Cat!
Yeah!
I think Brian Altano had like the best tweet about it though. It's like, we want a brand new Super Smash Bros. Game with all the same levels, all the same characters, but new items, but not too new, with the same exact mechanics, but add a few new things, but it needs to be the exact fucking same.
See, a lot of people, one at Tim Geddes from Kinda Funny, who is Nintendo fanboy number one, he's speculating that they're going to take the Wii U version, tweak it a little bit, add some new characters, probably some new stages, but keep it mostly the same as that, and make it just update it for this. For the Switch, because the Wii U version only came out like, 2015 or something?
Still like 3 year old.
Still, I mean, it's still a good game, to rebuild an entire fighting game from scratch and make it balanced again, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. And looking at it too, just like,
the Wii U version apparently has like 50 plus characters.
Oh, yeah, the Wii U version was good. There were a lot of Melee clones, but
yeah.
Okay, I will lay this down right now. Melee is not as great as everyone says. It is a good Smash Bros. Game, but it is not the best. Like when you talk with all like, or you see all the Smash players at Evo, like, it has to be Melee. Melee is the only game. Melee. It's like, it wasn't that great though. Like, yes, the Brawl version.
Not
poopy
great.
Garbage because they introduced the random tripping mechanic, which was stupid. But then Super Smash Bros. 4 came out. Great Smash game. I played the shit out of it on my 3DS and my Wii U.
I forgot there was one after.
That was the Wii U version.
Yeah, I never played the Wii U version.
That was like, they pretty much took Brawl, took out all the bullshit, redefined it, and added all the fun characters like Cloud, Bayonetta.
Yeah, like I would much rather play Smash Bros. 4 than Melee. Like, yes, Melee was fun, but it's not a perfect game.
And Steve and I, last night, we talked about this, about other possible titles for the Smash Bros. Games, because Brawl was a synonym for Melee. So I thought Super Smash Bros. Brouhaha would be really great, or Super Smash Bros. Ruckus. In addition to that, we also have Super Smash Bros. Knockdown Dragout, Clash, Donnybrook, Fracas, Frey, and my favorite one, Super Smash Brothers Battle Royale.
But see, you're missing the greatest one of all, Super Smash Bros. Kerfuffle.
And Fisticuffs.
Yes, oh, that's a good one.
Who would not love if Super Smash Bros. Kerfuffle? It's like, I'm ready.
One thing I hope they do, you remember the 3DS commercials when they were bringing Smash, it was like, settle it and smash.
The Warp Zone did a fantastic parody of that, where it's like, oh man, it's the last bagel. Settle it and smash. Like, it just keeps going, and then it's like, you slept with my girlfriend. Settle it and smash.
I'll smash you.
I would love if they brought those commercials back with the Switch, because it'd be so perfect.
I don't watch commercials. I have YouTube Red.
Well, yeah, maybe YouTube commercials, of course. But yes, what are commercials with YouTube Red?
So let's see. The first Smash had 26 characters.
Fucking Jigglypuff.
Not now, Dad. I get you're home. We'll talk later. Sorry, original Smash had 12. Melee had 26. Brawl had 39. 3DS and Wii U versions had 58, with 7 of those being downloadable.
Nice.
It's really exciting.
And they introduced a lot of third-party characters into it, too.
Cloud.
Like, Brawl had Solid Snake and Sonic.
Yep.
But then 3DS is like, what if we add Mega Man, Pac-Man, Cloud, Ryu from Street Fighter, Bayonetta.
Bayonetta makes sense now since it's a Nintendo franchise, which I still can't get my head around, but it
but
is.
But Cloud Strife.
Well, Square is a PlayStation game. Sure, but Square, I mean.
When was the last game that Square released on a Nintendo console?
Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles 3DS.
Probably.
But they're still like Cloud Strife. Like,
see, but now you got to look at all the games that they're.
Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm 2.
Oh, yeah, there's that. There was that. But you got to think, like, Nintendo and Square have, like, rekindled their friendship. Like, look at all the games that Square has coming out on the Switch.
Octopath Traveler. None of them are Final Fantasy, though. I want to play 4 for the 5th time on a separate console.
Give me my 6 remake already.
Give me
it.
9 yet again. I'll buy it for the 5th time.
You know when a company has... I want to fight Kefka in
Glorious
wallet.
HD.
Oh, you mean Satan?
Yes, exactly. Satan clown. But, yes, that was everything for the
Switch.
Well,
see, that's just redundant. All clowns are Satan.
You're not wrong. Thanks, Pennywise.
Also, real quick, ratings for the Super Smash Bros. Game. Smash Bros. 1, 79. Melee got a 92. Brawl got a 93. 3DS, 85. Wii U version, 92. The Wii U version got the exact same rating as Melee.
Final Fantasy Explorers came out in 2016 on 3DS. That was the last
there you go.
Title.
But is are the Tokyo RPG Factory games published by Square? Like I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere?
Yep.
There you go.
Still not a Final Fantasy game.
Sure.
I could see them being like,
I could see
we'll
them
put Setsuna in
I
here.
I could see them doing another tactics game for the Switch.
I've given up on waiting for a tactics game. That's what Fire Emblem is for.
True.
True. And I mean, at this point, I've only played Fire Emblem Warriors on my Switch just because I'm a masochist and I want to try 100% it. But it's like, all right, play 3 missions, put it down because I just need like... I need to not press the Y button for like 5 seconds.
Meanwhile, I'm back on Zelda, and I'm like, I'm going to go do the Trials of the Sword. Oh, hey, shrines. Ooh, that looks neat. Let's go over here.
I just realized my PC clock is messed up right now. It's an hour. It's 2 hours ahead.
Oh, God, we've time traveled.
How?
Is it 3:36 for you?
No, it's 4:36 on my laptop here.
We've traveled.
So I looked down. I'm like, what the fuck? How is it already 4:30?
The laptop's from the future. Skynet. This is how it starts.
Anyway, that's all the Switch news.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
What's our time at right now?
I think we're close to an hour. 53 minutes.
We could probably wrap up with like recommendations because I need to get my car looked at.
Yeah. That sounds good.
It's leaking.
Neat. Should put some cardboard down so we don't stay in the garage as much.
Yeah, you know, I think it might be a little too late. But we do have cardboard in the garage.
I mean, it's not like the street in front of the curb is
when your car blew up.
From when my car leaked.
Yeah. Okay, so my recommendation. I am fully caught up with... what titles did I read?
Action.
No, I haven't finished it yet. I want to talk about Wickdiv, but I can't.
I know. Wickdiv was really good.
I finally caught up with Backways, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
because
it's a very intriguing world.
Yeah.
They're slowly adding pieces to it. Like, here we go. It's more than just this girl got captured.
The girl got captured, and now there's mythical bounty hunters chasing after the other girl who somehow possesses these mystic powers.
Who's not impressed by anything in this world. I love that comment. I'm like,
fucking
can't
teenagers.
You act fucking normal for once?
I'm also really hyped because Killer Be Killed is still going. Just the fucking crime noir style of that story is so intense because right now Dylan, the main character, is in an insane asylum. Because it's like, he turned himself in because he believes that the demon that he's seen since like the first issue is actually just a hallucination. And now he's trapped in this asylum and he's taking medication. The demon goes away, but it's like, I see how it is. You're just going to wait until I'm at my lowest and you're going to come back and prove me wrong that you're not a hallucination, aren't you? And he's just sitting in this room by himself in the padded walls. I'm like, oh, that's creepy. And at the same time, he's in the asylum. There is a copycat killer running around doing his work because he was like, I almost said the Red Hood because he wears a red, like, balaclava.
Baklava?
Yeah, baklava. He goes around, the copycat killer is going around killing people, but he's, like, killing, like, drug dealers and low petty criminals, or is like, when Dylan did it, it was like, wow, you are a pedophile and I need to kill you so this demon can save my soul, and so on and so forth. I'm just so excited to see what happens if this gets adapted into, like, a long-running TV show or movie. Just where how everything gets shifted and changed.
Yeah. And Brie Baker's had success. Look at Westworld.
He's so good.
Doesn't Westworld come back pretty soon, too?
April?
Oh, I think. Fuck yes. Yes.
I think you've been watching too much Queer Eye.
Maybe. God, that show is so fucking great.
Which is my recommendation. Yeah. Fucking watch Queer Eye.
Oh my God, it's so positive.
That shit hit so hard for me. I was like, all right, I see everyone talking about it. I'll watch one episode. It's whatever. Before I know it, I'm on the last episode of the season.
Well, it's like you're halfway through the season. I sit down to start watching with you. And then Zach comes down and then he just sits on the couch.
Shit, is this Queer Eye?
We're all just watching. It's like, oh, that was the season.
Oh my God, the moment where Jonathan like lost his mind. Wow!
He's on like the couch flailing. Like presenting his anus.
See, see, you guys saw just a taste of Jonathan. That man is so fabulous. He is the one.
They like have every they have like a whole.
Well, yeah, like we went over like Karamo outside of the last episode is the least gay.
Superman
until Superman shows up, and then there's Anthony who is kind of still on the not as flamboyant, and then it goes to Tan and Bobby who are a little more, and then Jonathan. He is the Yas Queen.
Yeah,
to the point where. Like, he doesn't just say yes, Queen. He gets nasally about it. Yas, Queen. Yas.
It was really entertaining.
Jonathan, I love you.
It was very positive. Even though, like, the initial stage of, like, them raiding people was like, oh, God, is this what, like,
I was gonna say, like
getting raided is like by the SWAT team?
Like, you sat down for the episode, started watching, and they're, like, berating everything about his room. Like, God, they're so mean to him. Like, they're so mean. It's like... They have to be mean.
They have to show you that this needs to change.
They have to shit on him and be like, this isn't right. And they even changed the thumbnail like on Netflix where it used to be just Queer Eye. Now they've changed it to Queer Eye more than a makeover.
Huh.
Because I think everyone's perception of it was like, oh, she's like Queer Eye for the straight guy. Or they just make someone over. It's like, no. Yeah.
They go in depth. Full 9 yards.
Like the two episodes you guys watched were like the super happy positive episodes. Mm. The ones before, I cried at least once during each episode because I'm like, oh, my heart.
But I mean, like, there's so little drama in it. Like, it's just like, all right, it's just all building, like, good vibes.
You watched the easy one.
I know the story of Tom, like, the one that everybody keeps freaking out about.
Well, no, Tom was, like, the start with, he was the tamest of the emotional ones, which did get back with his ex-wife, right on Tom. But then there was another one where the guy was gay, but he made himself as like the straightest gay guy because he didn't want to perpetrate stereotypes, and he never told his dad before he died, and he never told his stepmom. So there's a whole scene of him throwing a party, his partner's there, and then he kind of takes his stepmom aside and comes out to her on camera, and it's like, oh fuck, my heart.
It's like,
it's breaking.
It's a reality show, but most of it seems most of it you can tell is genuine. There are certain moments where you're like, okay, that's clearly like a plant in there for the cameras.
That's fucking kids.
That's what the kids were playing. That's what we're joking about. It's like, it's totally a plant, or was it?
Yeah, like the comedy show one. That one was clearly a plant.
I've been watching you for years.
You did great. You made eye contact with everyone. You did da da da. It's like, huh? All the things that the guys told him.
You did a phenomenal job on this.
I do appreciate that the guys, like after they've done everything, they just let them figure it out. It's like, all right, we got to take a step back. We got to trust that they took these lessons.
Well, and they tackle some very hard issues too. Like one of them was because this whole season takes place in Georgia, and one of them was a cop. Like, you look at him, he's like stereotypical Southern cop, and they have a whole breakdown between him and Karamo about being a black guy in the South. Jeez. And like prejudice, and they go like both ends. Like, Karamo's like, yeah, black guy, I kind of hate cops because of da 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 da. And the cop's like, we're stereotyped because blah, 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 but we're not like that. It's like, Snoop Dogg. Holy shit. This is getting deep as fuck. But it's such a good, wholesome show.
Mm-hmm. If you want some good, positive vibes in your life, go watch Queer Eye.
Like, I'm watching, I'm like, I want to improve my life a little bit more. It's like, I can dress better. Mm-hmm. I have clothes that kind of match what they're saying. I can dress like that. I can make myself feel better. Mm-hmm. And then Yas Queen.
Yas.
There was not an episode without a Yas.
Stress is terrible. It's required.
And Bobby deserves more credit. So much more.
He's the home makeover one.
He decorates everyone's homes, fixes them up, makes them look fantastic. And it pretty much boils down to, oh my God, this looks nice. Good job, Bobby. Oh, man, and then moves on.
Countertops.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? He redid everything.
Yeah. All right, Zach, how about you?
Trying to think of what I've read. I only read Batman, Green Lanterns, White Knight, and Wickdiv. Oh, man. Wickdiv's just so good. It's like you and me were saying, like, we're starting to see like the end of this series. And I mean, it kind of confirms, like, with what McKelvey and Gillen have said, of like, yeah, we're probably aiming around like 50 issues, and we're on issue 36, something like that.
34.
So it's like, all right, we realistically might have like an arc or two left,
and we've got to current time with the last anthology issue.
Yeah, so we got up to the group right before this one, so
it's very curious. Mm-hmm. Because you mind if I say one thing, Steve?
Go for it.
They created the rules in this issue. So it's
just 34 issues later, we don't understand the name of the game.
And it makes me curious. It's like, I have to be the last one you bring back. And then that's why I was telling you, I'm like, the person on the cover is not Anake. It's... Ow, fuck. I haven't punched you in so long! You goddamn mic! Oh,
looks terrible. Like the scoreboard is Steven's, though, and he didn't punch the mic.
Reset the sign!
Days Zach was since... right underneath it. Days since punched Mike. It's always seven.
Oh,
7 days.
I know I'm a year late, but I'm just going to say briefly, I understand the hype behind Breath of the Wild now. It's much more than just a Skyrim clone with Zelda on top. It's so pure, and aside from the goddamn fucking ball game,
you were getting bullshit so upset about that.
Because
yesterday.
The motion controls were not cooperating.
Was that what I was hearing last night?
Like, when you would just hear the rain.
God, how is this fucking possible?
I will admit that puzzle is bullshit.
Because it's like, all right, I tilted this way. It's like, all right, we're going to go like 80 degrees down.
There is kind of a cheat way you can do it, is you tilt it up to where it's like completely facing
you. Oh, and then you like roll.
Then you just drop it on the railing and kind of drop down it.
I tried doing that a couple times.
Drops down 3/4 of the way through.
I tried doing that a couple times. Did not work.
Just play Monster Hunter and I can hear you in the background.
Shit, fuck.
Like, man, Zach hasn't given me my Fitbit. Does he know where the jelly beans are?
I forgot about that, too.
So you say, like, as you're standing on my side, I was dictating it to him. Like, Zach wants to know if you can bring him his Fitbit next to the jelly beans.
Aaron's playing with us. You have jelly beans? I want to come over. Always a bowl of jelly beans on the counter.
But yes, I understand why everybody raved about the game. It's so good. Like, I haven't played a Zelda game since Wind Waker, so I'm just like, oh yeah, I really like these games.
What makes it even better, though, is they actually installed a physics engine into it. Like, there's no, like, stupid things like, I should have been able to jump more than that, or I should be able to jump whenever I want to, and then physics actually works. Like, I was telling Zach, there was a shrine I was in where I was moving a platform with my magnet, and I was setting it, and I didn't put it forward enough, and so it kind of... drop down, and as I was jumping up, I was like, oh, I did it, yeah. It kind of whacked me a little. It's like, boop, boop. It's like, oh, I didn't do it right. I learned my lesson and just waddled back.
What's so great about it is it's a fucking masterclass of game design where it's like, all right, here's how we intend you to do the puzzle, But you can figure, if you find another way, go for it.
I've seen so many things where it's like ways you can kind of cheat the temples, and like people throw down
bombs and, like, launch
shield
themselves.
Surf, launch in the air, glide over. It's like, how the fuck do you even practice
that?
And
what's so
that?
Great is just like people think it's like, aha, I beat the game. It's like, no. That's part of the mechanics. They expected you to possibly do that. It's just like, that's so fucking clever.
That does kind of bring up like what Nintendo's kind of doing with their games, of they're rewarding you if you find ways to cheat the system. Mm-hmm. Like Mario Odyssey, if you find a way to get out of the map in certain places, they have piles of coins outside of the map for you.
It's like, hey, like, you did it.
Like, wow, you found a way to break the game. Here's our reward for you. It's like, that is what other games should do. Mm-hmm. I get if there's something like, don't break this game no matter what. But it's like, if you do, here's a neat little
it's
Easter
like,
egg or
yeah,
a little treat for you.
Year one of the Switch, like, Nintendo is, like, come back swinging. Like, I'm going to be very... Like, even this year, it seems like they're going to be going out swinging.
It's like, it's interesting to think about the console wars, how it always used to be PlayStation or Xbox.
Now it's like, Switch is here.
Yeah.
We're here to fucking
it's like, we're a contender now.
Maybe not for multiplayer games. They're still kind of rough on that end.
I mean, Splatoon, I've heard, is pretty good, but they're still working on their online system.
Yeah, they need to figure that out. Like, please, just implement voice chat
comes
into games.
In September.
Some people actually suggested, like, what if Discord partners with Nintendo to do voice chat built into the Switch? That'd be a good way to do that, but I don't know if they will. It's not really Nintendo's way, but yeah.
Got a Switch, play Zelda.
Yes.
Yeah, Switch. It's
totally worth
play
it.
Play Golf Story.
There's so many good games.
So, oh my god, that game that, was it Ryan linked to you from people who made Stardew?
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually sounds fun.
It
like,
sounds so good.
It's like a wizarding school, but with Zelda 2D elements in it. Fuck.
But Stardew? Right.
I cannot get into the pit that is Stardew. I can't. I have so many games I need to play already. I can't. I just can't.
I know.
Anyway.
All right. That's about it for us today. If you like what you heard, please make sure you leave us a thumbs up or some sort of rating where you hear us, whether it be SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, or other major podcasting services. It really helps us exist, and it messes with the algorithm, and one day we might be even more popular than other Z2 franchises. Praise Ziltoid. But all you can do right now is just leave us a message, or you can come talk to us. We're very active on Facebook and Twitter, as well as
z2podcast.com/comment. If you have a question, comment, concern, or you just want us to talk about something you have in mind, send us our way.
Send us a topic. So if we have slow days like this where nothing happened, we have something to discuss for you. And hey, you can leave us your opinions on it too.
Yeah. Like, did you all see when Goku went Ultra Instinct and created a galaxy and then absorbed it?
I'm so upset there was an episode this week. God damn it, they're just dragging this shit out. Give me the final fight.
Well, the show's supposed to end.
It ends in two weeks.
What?
Yeah.
They're done with Super?
And then they're going to do a new movie and then possibly a new anime series after.
I know.
But it's like the last episode is rumored to be called like Goku,
the translation.
Until we see again.
No, it actually changed.
Oh.
The new translation, I can't remember the first part of it, but it's Farewell Goku.
Hmm.
Like, people are freaking out, like, are they going to finally fucking kill Goku forever?
No. They tried this once with Gohan, and then that we saw
look,
that turned out.
If they didn't make him so weak, like, I leave all of the galaxy in your hands. Okay. All right, I'm going to stop training now and go to high school. Like, go to high school, but still trade, homie. Your dad left the galaxy in your hands.
Piccolo did not become your father figure until see you become that.
Yeah. And for our obligatory, like, Tim comment of this episode, he usually reaches out to us just to make fun of us and tease us, but he's a great guy. So we can make fun and tease you too, audience. However, 8 of you are listening.
Send us your favorite villain. One of us will shit on it.
Send us your favorite Marvel title. One of us will shit on it.
Your favorite hero.
Tell us why you like Love Actually. Just do that.
Or Ant-Man.
Or the movie 43. It's a very bad movie.
Okay.
It's like one of those movies where there's like 20 characters and all their stories connect.
Okay. Yeah. Let's wrap this up then.
All right. Thank you for listening to your brand new episode of Z2 Podcast. Don't forget to leave a comment or a rating or something.
Do all the things.
And we'll see you later.
Love so
you
the first part of movie 43 starts. All right, we're